We will have game four of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics tonight at 8:30 Eastern on ABC and the app. Heat are up 2-1. The Countdown crew gets things started at 8 Eastern. Welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I've got Zach, I've got JJ, I've got some football guys hanging out with us, and it is time to get up with Steph and the Warriors. Going off again. Is this the beginning of a new golden age for the Warriors out west? We will discuss that. Plus, the Heat is on in the Eastern Conference Finals. What has to happen for Boston to bounce back tonight? And the Packers OTAs get underway this week. Their most important player is likely to be MIA. Does Aaron Rodgers owe it to Green Bay to show up? But we are going to start with the game of the night, and that is the Western Conference Finals Game 3. With the Warriors up 2-0, visiting the Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals. Under 10 seconds left in the first. Luka Doncic with the Mavericks down 6, putting the move on at midcourt. Hitting the long three at the buzzer and then throwing a little party as the first quarter ends with the Mavericks down by 3. Under 4 minutes left in the second now. Warriors down 7. Steph Curry hits the 3 from the wing off the assist from Andrew Wiggins. Warriors down 4. Just over 2 minutes remaining in the second. Steph again, this time from the corner. Curry turning to look at his teammates before the ball even went through. He's loving it. Warriors take a 1-point lead into halftime. Third quarter, Golden State up 9. Who else? Curry. Hits the jumper. Warriors up 11. They had a big third quarter. Moments under a minute left in the third. They're still up 11. Curry rattling in the three. He's feeling it after the shot. Warriors led by 10 after three. Early fourth now. Mavericks down 12. Luka doing what he can. Driving in for the one-handed dunk. Puts the Mavericks down 10. And then under 9 minutes left in the fourth. They're down by 11. Luka's going to hit this three-pointer. That gets him within 8. But it was not to be his night. Under 7 minutes remaining, Warriors up 7, and here is Andrew Wiggins with a one-handed dunk off the assist from Curry. They initially called this an offensive foul, but the Warriors challenged, and they won the challenge. The dunk counts. Warriors win the game 109-100. They take a 3-0 series lead. Steph Curry had 31 points and said this after the game.
The motivation is the fact that we're back on the stage with the opportunity to chase a finals appearance again after, you know, 2 years of hiatus. I don't need any extra motivation. It's just trying to take advantage of the opportunity.
Last night was Curry's 7th 30-point game this postseason. The only players who have had that many 30-point games in a single postseason at age 34 or older are Michael Jordan and LeBron James, both of whom won Finals MVP in the season that they did this. So special things may well be on tap for Steph Curry. LeBron James and Michael Jordan, as I understand it, pretty good company historically. And look, they're up 3-0. I think I saw the stat earlier. Teams up 3-0 in the NBA playoffs are 146-0 in terms of winning the series. I don't want to assume Dallas is done, but right now, as we sit here, are the Warriors the favorites to win the whole thing?
According to Vegas and most prognosticators,
according
yes.
To you.
No, I know. I do think whoever wins the East, to me, is the favorite in the finals. Of course, that's health dependent. You know, there's a bunch of guys on the Heat that are banged up. There's a bunch of guys on the Celtics that are banged up. And some of that is what those teams have had to go through in the Eastern Conference, specifically the Celtics, having to get through that Nets series and all that's required to beat Kevin Durant and Kyrie, having to get through the Bucks series and having to beat Giannis. Marcus Smart, to me, is the most important for this player for the Celtics. If he's healthy and they can beat the Heat, I think they're the favorites to beat the Warriors.
Going into this round, going into the weekend, I would have said Boston. I think Boston is the most complete team in the NBA. They're well built to defend whatever the Warriors do on offense, which is different than what anyone else does on offense. But now, like 48 hours later, Warriors are up 3-0. Boston's down 2-1. Rob Williams missed another game. Marcus Smart turned his ankle. Jason Tatum had a shoulder thing. I think right now at this moment, Vegas is right to anoint the Warriors as favorites.
We could be looking at a rest differential situation, right? I mean, the Warriors could advance tomorrow night, and Boston, if Boston's going to come back and win, even if Miami's going to win, it could take the rest of the week. That matters, right?
It does matter. I do think There's times where that rest can make you a little rusty coming out for game one. But the health of those Eastern Conference teams, I think, is more important. So, if the Heat can wrap that series up or if the Celtics can win in six, there's enough of a gap there for them to get it healthy as well.
I was worried I was going to get injured just watching game three of Celtics Heat. I mean, my God.
It was one of the most physical playoff series that I remember watching.
It was uncomfortable sometimes how physical it was, and guys are just dropping all over the place.
But that matters too. I mean, here are the Warriors. Like, I don't want to say they're coasting, but they're having an easier time in terms of what it takes, in terms of games played, in terms of health to get to the finals. So, I mean, they've been on the other side of this, right? 3 years ago when they were the banged up team in the finals. So going in, I mean, it seems fair to assume that they would be the favorite to win it all.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see again what the state of the Eastern Conference champion is once that series is over. Both those teams are really good and really capable and really, really tough. Miami, Boston, you don't want to mess with those teams.
Looks like we're going to have a couple more weeks to talk about Golden State. But I do want to mention Dallas and Luka Doncic. Obviously, they're down 3-0. The present looks fairly bleak, but the future is still bright. Here's Luka after last night's game.
I'm still learning, and I think, after this season is done, whatever we are, I think I'm going to look back, and learn a lot of things, It's my first time in conference finals in the NBA. So I'm 23, man. I'm still learning a lot.
Can they keep this going? I mean, do they have a chance to win a game here?
They can keep the series going. To Luka's point, though, when you look historically across the NBA, whether it's Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, like all these guys, Giannis is a great example of this in recent memory. All these guys have had to go through some growing pains in the playoffs. The future for Dallas is so bright. They have a foundational piece where year to year, if you build the right roster around him, they can be a championship contender.
They got a big decision to make this offseason with Jalen Brunson. I feel like this playoff run has probably made that decision for them, and they should and probably will bring him back. If they do that, they're capped out for a long time, and it's going to be interesting to see how and if they tweak this roster around Luka, because as you mentioned earlier, JJ, it's great they made the conference finals. Beating the Suns is a huge accomplishment. Denver's coming back fully loaded next year. The Clippers are coming back fully loaded. Minnesota, Memphis, those teams are just going to rise and rise and rise. Like, the West it's going to be really hard for anyone to get out of the West going forward.
Patrick Beverly was making that point on our shows last week about how he expects the league to be healthier next year, and it may be difficult for some of these teams. But, I mean, whatever they do, if they're capped out, it's on Luka to become what we all think he can become, right?
Well, I think he's now the all-time leading scorer points per game in the playoffs. He's whatever he is, 33.5, nine rebounds, nine assists. It's not necessarily just on him. I think bringing in Drew, here's the case with Giannis, bringing in Drew as that third guy in Milwaukee was a huge move. It gave them another wing defender. They have the wing defenders. Kleber is also an underrated defender. To me, there's got to be some rim protection. If you watch this series, it's just over and over again. They're spreading them out. They're getting into the paint. They're scoring at the rim. The Mavs need a rim. And I'm not saying, a lot of people on Twitter are saying it's Gobert. But as we've seen in the playoffs the last two seasons, there's a counter to Gobert in the playoffs. Like, they just need a versatile guy who can protect the rim.
Dallas unlikely to hire Twitter as its next GM.
You never know. You never know.
Well, we'll see.
I've seen it happen.
Let's go to the NFL now. The Green Bay Packers OTAs begin today, and the big question is whether Aaron Rodgers will be in attendance. Rodgers signed a 3-year, $150 million extension back in March. He's not expected to be at these fully voluntary workouts. He doesn't have to be. And here's what his quarterback's coach, Tom Clements, had to say about his potential attendance. He said, Aaron doesn't need reps at this time of year. Obviously, it would be nice to have him here, but he's seen these things 1,000 times, and he'll be ready to go when training camp starts. Again, I do want to stress to our viewers that this time of year, these workouts are completely voluntary, that the NFLPA fought for and won that in the last couple CBA negotiations, and Aaron Rodgers is under no obligation to be there. His coaches have to say, obviously, what they're saying, or else they can get in trouble for it. Orlovsky, you can say whatever you want. Do you think Aaron Rodgers needs to be at OTAs?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
No. Listen, of course you would love for Aaron Rodgers to be there, but a couple things, Graz. Number one, the Packers are in the playoffs. The NFC is not a strong conference. That is not an incredibly difficult division that they're in the NFC North. Number two, they don't play a game for 4 months. Okay, I really believe the Packers' season, because of a good defense and run game and offensive line, will come down to two things. Christian Watson, their second-round receiver, does he exceed expectations? And then can Aaron Rodgers play his absolute best football, similar to what Matthew Stafford did last year in January and February? Can he play his best football? And that's 9 months from now. Now, everyone is going to say, well, Aaron needs to be there right now for Christian Watson. So Christian Watson right now is going into OTAs, and he's getting into the huddle. Where do I line up in the huddle? What does the language mean? What is the protection? Who is the hot type of person? What split do I have? All that stuff. He is just learning a foundation of this offense. The last thing you want is too much information for that young player. Give him the baseline so that in a month from now, when Aaron Rodgers will be there for a mini camp or something like that, when Christian Watson hears a certain language or a play call, Aaron Rodgers can go to him and say, like, hey, bud, listen, man, if you get this route and that corner or that safety plays this way, this is something that you could try to work into your game. That's how they get on the same page. It's not right now.
All makes sense to me. Mike Tannenbaum, what do you think?
I couldn't disagree more. Context is everything. If we're talking about Davante Adams and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, completely agree with Dano. However, he should be there. He should be picking Christian Watson up from the airport, showing him where to eat, how to hydrate, how to recover, all the things that is necessary to be a great pro. It's about wisdom and experience. And you know what? You know who gets the big win this week? It's Tom Brady and Matt Stafford, their competition. Because in pro football, winning is on the margins, and having meaningful relationships and repetition is everything. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm coming back to win a championship. I have 46 million reasons why I should be there as a leader to show how important OTAs actually are.
Heavy sigh from Orlovsky.
No, so, Mike T, first of all, you can build relationships in 9 months. In 9 months is when we're in January and February. He does not need to build the relationship right now. Give Christian Watson the understanding of a starting point. You can overload with him with information, and then all of a sudden, when do we want, Mike T, let me ask you this question. If you were the general manager, if you're Brian Gutekunst for the Green Bay Packers, when do you want Christian Watson playing his absolute best football for you when it comes?
100% as the year goes on, but it all starts with the foundation of a relationship, and they are massively behind Stafford to Kupp. They're behind Brady to Godwin, Brady to Evans. Every day matters. They need to understand communication, verbal, nonverbal. You know that, Dan, as a former quarterback, and that's only through repetition and getting to know one another. Christian Watson is an FCS player. Aaron Rodgers has 18 years of wisdom he could be sharing with him.
But Mike T, I agree with you, but they are not going to get into football 701 until Christian Watson learns the football one-on-one, the nonverbal communication. That's what I'm talking about. Like, the last thing you want to do to this young player right now, because he's so important to their team this season, is give him too much. He just comes from playing college football. We talk about the rookie wall all the time. You just came from playing college football, all the draft process. Now we're giving you a ton. I don't want to mentally just wear you out, so when we get to September and October, you're already done. Give him the starting point where he understands stuff, and then allow Aaron Rodgers to. Like, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there till August, the middle of August. Aaron Rodgers is going to show up at some point this offseason and spend time with Christian Watson. It just doesn't need to be right now.
Mike T, we'll give you the final word, even though you're completely wrong.
Yeah, well, then both of you take out your pads and listen to this. Jerry Rice never missed a special teams meeting. How about guys like Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker? Their first-round picks, the future of this franchise is about these young players. And if they're looking at the highest-paid player, the best player on the team, and he's saying,
Come on, it's not important to be here.
What message is that sending? That's why Jerry Rice will go down as one of the greatest players and teammates, because he set a standard every day. And that's why it's so important. Why do you think guys like Patrick Mahomes and Matthew Stafford go to ATAs? They're setting an example for the rest of the organization.
Once again, we should stress completely voluntary work at this time of year. Aaron Rodgers was one of the strongest voices during the last CBA negotiation, arguing for further reduction of the offseason program. So, not a surprise if he doesn't show up. We come back on Get Up. We're going to talk more NBA. The Lakers got rejected. What does that all mean for LeBron James and company as the Lakers continue to look for a new head coach? Plus, find out why one of our NFL experts is sounding the alarm about the Patriots' offense ahead of their first OTAs. It's all next on Get Up. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Zach Lowe, Charles Barkley rode a horse to the inside of the NBA set last night. I mean, it's Charles Barkley on a horse. What do you got for us?
I mean, the prompter said, is this good, bad, or ugly? I don't know how bad and ugly are options. This is so good. I would have watched four more minutes of this. They should have had him come all the way from his hotel all the way through downtown Dallas on a horse. It's incredible television.
He doesn't look all the way comfortable, though. I think this is about as far as he was going to know.
He repeated over and over again, I'm from Leeds, Alabama. I know how to ride a horse.
Not
stop doubting Charles
horse.
Barkley's horse credentials.
Because he looked a little shaky. Maybe it's because he's in a suit.
Are we going to get to where he gets off? Because getting off was a little bit problematic.
Okay.
But I'd say that as someone, I'm not sure how I would be getting. I don't know the last time I rode a horse, to be honest.
Let's not worry about the problems and just revel in the glory that is Charles Barkley riding a horse in a cowboy hat. Hey, let's run through some big NFL questions as we head into OTAs. I got one for you. Will Baker Mayfield show up at Cleveland Browns OTAs? Mayfield guaranteed a full $18.858 million in salary this year, but the Browns did trade for Deshaun Watson and signed Jacoby Brissett, and it sounds like the relationship between them and Baker is shot. They haven't been able to find a taker for him on the trade market. Some teams wonder if they're going to end up cutting him. We'll see. So far, he has not shown up and made any issue out of it. If that continues, then they have more time. Dan Orlovsky, what's a question you have heading into OTAs?
How quickly and how much Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa become a real duo quarterback wide receiver wise that threaten the NFL? You know, how quickly that happens and then what level does it get to? Does it reach a Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill level? Because if that happens, the AFC East is as fascinating as the AFC West.
I'm going to keep it in the AFC East for my next one. I want to know what the Patriots' offense will look like. Offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels leaves to become head coach of the Raiders. Mac Jones, the quarterback entering his second year. Sounds like the offensive coaching staff is going to be headed by a tandem of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, with Bill Belichick being heavily involved. They're not saying who's going to call the plays. The Patriots putting it together with some coaches that haven't really spent a lot of time coaching offense, quite frankly. So we'll see how this works. Orlovsky, how concerned should Patriots fans be about this arrangement?
About as concerned as I was for my internet the first part of the show.
That's a lot.
Grez, I 2 months ago I said this was the most concerning thing to me in the NFL, and it still is. The Patriots took a strength and an advantage and now sit at a massive disadvantage. I have no clue what their offense is going to be, what their scheme is going to be. And then, Graz, I was thinking about it last night. Look at their schedule and look at the teams that they have to play and find one game where you can be honest about and say the Patriots have an advantage when it comes to their offensive system or their offensive play caller. Go through the list. I can find maybe Pittsburgh, maybe, because Matt Canada's a little bit of a still unknown. But even in their division, Buffalo has Ken Dorsey, who learned under Brian Daboll, who has this brilliant offensive mind. The Dolphins signed Mike McDaniel, who comes from the Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan tree, who's a renowned, brilliant offensive mind, specifically in the run game. The Jets have Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur's little brother, who comes from that same tree that for 50 years in the NFL, that offense has worked well. I have no clue what New England is going to do on offense. And it honestly concerns me for Mac Jones. This quarterback who last year was so good and was so attached to Josh McDaniels. And now I want to be honest. When you say the phrase, it's going to be headed by Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Joe Judge, respectfully, was the coach that on 3rd and 8 last year called quarterback sneak. Put that into context. Patriot fans, look at your schedule. Find me one game where you can sit there and say our offensive staff or scheme is going to give us an advantage in that football game. You can't find one.
Mike T, you've worked with Bill Belichick a fair bit over the years. What do you think is going through his mind here?
Well, first of all, I find it fascinating that all of a sudden there's a sense of urgency in May and June where, you know, 10 minutes ago, Dan O was saying this is an irrelevant time of the year. But I did work for Coach Belichick twice, and philosophically, this is one of his big beliefs. He cross-trains coaches all the time. I saw it early with guys like Eric Mangini, Brian Daboll, Josh McDaniels, just in terms of how they're trained. Coach Belichick actually started off as a special teams coach himself. When you see him build teams, he builds his offenses in ways that's given him trouble on defense. That's why you see him invest in tight ends and slot receivers over time. So obviously, Coach Belichick believes in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia from a football acumen standpoint. So while this is a little bit out of the box, I'm not surprised just given Coach Belichick's belief in those two coaches.
Yeah, and look, right? Matt Patricia was an offensive line coach before he coached defense. Judge was involved with the offense while he was special teams coordinator there, and they've both been head coaches. So, Orlovsky, are we wrong to assume Belichick knows what he's doing here?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I think it's outrageous for us to sit here and think that this is smart. I think that's absolutely outrageous. Two things. The situations between this one and Green Bay are non-comparable. Second thing is this. There is a big difference between knowing football and being able to sit there and watch tape and see what's going on and thinking, well, as an offense and or a defense, we should do this. And then in the moment, call the right play. In the moment, call the right play. Play calling is an art. It is a feel. It is not a science. And to understand, play is dead, clock is running, you got 6 seconds to get that play into your quarterback so you can get out of the huddle, and his feel, it is a totally different world.
We'll see how it goes for Belichick and the Patriots heading into year two of Mac Jones. We come back, though, on Get Up. We're going to do more basketball. Steph and the Warriors went off again. We will talk about whether this is the beginning of a new golden age for the Warriors out west. Jalen Rose is going to come by and talk about it with us. But first, we have Sneaky Hembo for Zach Lowe. Zach, your question today. What is the only team Steve Kerr owns a losing record against as an NBA head coach? We'll come back and see if Zach knows the answer.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, and it is sneaky Hembo time. The question is for Zach Lowe. What is the only team Steve Kerr has a losing record against as an NBA head coach?
See, sneaky. I think that including playoffs parenthetical is playoffs. Sneaky. I think it's trying to trick me.
But he put
start thinking about the playoffs. It's there to trick me. I'm going east, a team that hasn't faced them a lot. The Boston Celtics have a history of playing the Warriors really well. They're still alive in the playoffs, so that's relevant. I'm going with my gut, Boston.
Your gut is correct.
Yeah,
the
Hembo.
Boston Celtics, who are 7-9 against Steve Kerr as the Golden State head coach. Potentially relevant information, let's say, a week from now.
Boom.
We'll see how that goes. Our game of the night was Warriors-Mavericks Western Conference Finals. Warriors up 2-0 in Dallas. Let's go late in the first. There's less than 10 seconds left in the first quarter. Mavericks down 6. Luka, the long three at the buzzer, and he celebrates as he heads back up the court. Mavericks trail by 3 after 1. But just over 2 minutes left in the second, Warriors down 2. Steph Curry with the 3 from the corner, and he turned around to look at his teammates before the ball went in. He did peek a little bit there at the end, but still pretty cool. Under a minute left in the third, Warriors up 11. Who else? Curry. He's going to rattle in the 3 from distance, and he is feeling it. Why wouldn't he be? Warriors up 10 at the end of the third. Early fourth quarter, Mavericks now down 12. Luka driving in for the one-handed dunk. Cuts the lead to 10, but it was not to be his night. Andrew Wiggins, he puts down his own one-handed dunk over Luka off the assist by Curry. This was initially called an offensive foul. Warriors challenged it. They won the challenge. Warriors win the game 109-100, take a 3-0 series lead. Steph Curry with 31 points in that game. So the Warriors up 3-0, they're a win away from the finals. I feel like a couple years ago, they lose to Toronto, and we feel like maybe this is kind of a last gasp for this team. But, I mean, are they kind of pivoting, JJ, into a potential? Again, they have to win one more, and then they have to win the finals.
Yeah.
But are they potentially pivoting into some a new run of success?
I don't know about dynasty. That remains to be seen, as you said, because they have to win a championship for that to restart. But certainly a third championship window here. They've re-entered, and a lot of that has to do with the development of Jordan Poole, Kuminga's potential, Wiseman's potential. I go back to the summer of 2019 when Kevin Durant clearly was going to leave, being able to facilitate a sign and trade to get D'Angelo Russell. They overpaid for D'Angelo to get him on $30 million a year so that they could then trade him for another piece. And that piece became Andrew Wiggins, who's been phenomenal. So having him, his ability to defend, get in the paint, all that stuff we've seen in the playoffs, knockdown spot up threes, having him has been huge for them.
Yeah, look, the Warriors ownership, Joe Lacob, boldly proclaimed, we want to be the next Spurs. And the Spurs, as you know, never repeated as champions. They were just really good for a really long time, and the cast would change here or there. They'd get good injury luck or bad injury luck, and they were always right there. This is the Warriors becoming that, fulfilling that prophecy. We're 9-10 years into their run as a top-level playoff team. And as JJ said, Andrew Wiggins' emergence as the 27-year-old, the guy in his prime, right in between the old core and the young guys who are kind of ready but not ready for big roles yet, has been massively important for this team, along with Poole and the fact that those three holdover stars, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, they just know how to win. It's really a remarkable story that you mentioned that 2019 finals. You know, I remember being at those games. KD goes down game 5. Clay goes down game 6, and you just think to yourself, can we just end this series before somebody else gets hurt? It felt almost like basketball trauma had engulfed the Warriors. And for them to come back from that, for Clay to come back from that and be on the doorstep again, it's remarkable.
And I mean, look, the young players, obviously a big part of it, emerging stars, but those big three that won all those titles together, they're not exactly on their way out, right?
I mean, I think it's the fact that Steph is still playing at an all-NBA level. Like, the whole thing with the Warriors is their system. It's all based on him. The threat of his shot, whether it's a double team out of a pick and roll, throwing back to Draymond, creating a 4-on-3, making plays out of that, or his movement off the ball, using that to create cuts and driving angles to get into the paint, it all revolves around him and his ability to still play at this level at age 34.
And you look at what? Klay Thompson probably going to be better next year, right? He's not going to be coming off the injury.
I think Klay for the playoffs is averaging 19 a game on 45% shooting, 39% from threes. Is he the same Klay defensively? No, nor should anyone have expected that. Given what he went through, I think he's been phenomenal this year. And those big three, Draymond, for my money, is still the best defensive player in the NBA when the chips are down. Those three guys, they still know how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, obviously tremendous success. I mean, they have a factory. Why couldn't they be the next Spurs or even last even longer than they did if they're going to keep replenishing like this? Warriors one way a win from returning to the NBA Finals. For the sixth time in eight seasons, the other end of the Western Conference spectrum features the Los Angeles Lakers. And news on them, as our Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted, Michigan coach Juwan Howard declined a Los Angeles Lakers overture for the team's head coaching job. Howard's going to remain at Michigan, coach his two sons, Jace and Jet. You know, look, that sounds great. I mean, Michigan's a good job, and he's coaching his kids. That sounds like a lot of fun. But it's the Los Angeles Lakers, right? I mean, you just say no thanks when they call. What does that say about the Laker job?
It says more to me about the timing of Juwan Howard's situation. He's got a great job right now at his alma mater. He's coaching his kids. And the Lakers job right now, I don't think is a great job. I don't know in the short term how you build around this roster without cap space, without real tradable assets outside of Anthony Davis. And then going forward, look, LeBron is going to get older. At some point, he's going to have a decline. They don't have the young players that are going to be able to step into that role. Like we talked about with the Warriors, Jordan Poole stepping up. Like we talked about with the Spurs dynasty, Kawhi Leonard developing into an all-NBA player. So this job right now, I think, is not the right time for Juwan Howard. He's going to have his choice of jobs at some point in the NBA if he so chooses.
Ann Arbor, beautiful place to live. Michigan's got the best fight song in college sports. He gets to coach his sons. If I got to pick between that and figuring out like the Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis fit with all the drama that's always swirling above me, I'll stick with Michigan. That's cool.
Maybe if the Lakers had called in December, right, and offered L.A. weather, right, in the wintertime over Ann Arbor, but who knows? Look, but seriously, I mean, you mentioned that what goes on with the Lakers. I mean, it was a mess this year. I mean, is that something that's fixable anytime soon?
They have a lot of work to do internally on their culture and sort of the cohesion from top to bottom. And they have a lot of work to do, as JJ indicated, on their roster. It's still the Lakers, and they're still attracting some really good coaching candidates. And they still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So if those guys are healthy at the right time, which they never were this year, and the supporting cast was a mess, I realize that. If you just give me those two guys healthy in April and May, I got a fighting chance against anybody. A fighting chance, at least. I might not be favorites against the Clippers, the Nuggets, on. I got a chance, though. No one's excited to see those two guys across the court in the playoffs.
To Zach's point, I think with regards to Juwan, this has more to do with his situation and the timing of his situation than it does about whether or not the Lakers' job is attracted to anybody. Because, as Zach mentioned, Terry Stotts is a great coach. Kenny Atkinson probably got a raw deal in Brooklyn and has proven that he can take a team to the playoffs. And then Darvin Ham. Darvin Ham is the guy that has, for the last 5 or 6 years, interviewed for a bunch of head coaching jobs, hasn't got the job yet. So I think the time is right for him to step into that role.
So, I mean, obviously, who do you like from this, Zach, from this list of potential candidates that are finalists that Woj reported?
It depends what you want. If you want veteran, win now, has been around the block, Terry Stotts did a really underrated job in Portland. Kenny Atkinson is more than ready. As JJ said, I thought he did a great job in Brooklyn and sort of got a raw deal there at the end. And Darvin Ham is ready and is a big personality who's not scared of anyone or telling anybody what to do in the film room. So those are all good choices to me. It just depends what they want.
If you become the Lakers head coach tomorrow, what's the most important thing for you to do?
Oh, boy.
Let's say they call tonight. And unlike Juwan Howard, you say, sure, I'll talk.
I would probably get on the phone with Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, and I would say, let's have a powwow about what we're all going to do, how we all create synergy. The best-run organization, the best-run teams have synergy between ownership, front office and coaching. The Lakers have not had that.
The Absolutely. Problem with that is, like, who else has got to be on the call? Do I got to get Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis and Phil Jackson?
How many people are on the call?
Those three. Me, Rob, and,
that's it?
And Linda.
Okay.
LeBron? Does LeBron need to be on the call?
What?
Does LeBron James need to be on the call?
LeBron's on the call.
Lakers lost 49 games this season, most ever by a LeBron James team, and the most the Lakers have lost in the last 5 years. We come back. We have more hoops to get to. We're going to talk about whether this was a dirty play, and we'll talk about some Celtics and Heat as they head move along in their Eastern Conference Finals series a lot closer than the West.
I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and we're hitting the road with a whole crew.
I'm the most unbiased person on this panel.
So get ready for some special guests. At what point did you know?
Yeah, night before.
All the breaking news.
There's a growing confidence that Joel Embiid will be back.
And of course, unforgettable moments. Is that my watch? No! I guess that says it all! Join us for NBA Today weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN.
Back to the NBA, where Jimmy Butler is listed as questionable tonight for the Heat. His right knee hurts, and a little CSI Seaport investigation here. We want to dig into this. Is this possible that Peyton Pritchard grabbed Butler's knee and it may have led to Butler sitting out the second half the other night? I don't know. It didn't get a lot of attention. It wasn't like the Ja Morant thing from a couple of weeks ago. I put it to you, J.J. Redick, was that a dirty play?
The reason it didn't get attention is because Eric Spoelstra didn't come out after the game and accuse Peyton Pritchard of a dirty play, because it wasn't.
Correct.
This shouldn't even be a thing. He fell down. He's trying to foul Jimmy so that he doesn't get downhill and make a play. And he grabbed his quad. He didn't even grab his knee. Look, Jimmy has been dealing with this injury for a while now and missed a game in round one against the Hawks. This is a non-issue to me.
Yeah, things happen really fast in the NBA. Bodies are flying around. Accidents happen. Peyton Pritchard's not trying to do anything here. And as JJ said, right knee inflammation, which has kept him out of the second half, is the same reason he missed the game in the first round against the Atlanta Hawks. It's a recurring thing, an off-and-on thing. And my understanding is there is no belief that whatever that was had anything to do with Jimmy Butler not playing the second half of the game.
All right. Well, it was worth asking.
Yeah, sure. Everything's worth asking.
Sure, yeah.
Jason Tatum of the Celtics did not have his best game in Game 3. They need more from him, obviously, tonight. Here's Celtics coach Ime Udoka on Tatum.
He knows he didn't play his best. We know we can play a lot better as a team, and so one thing he's always done is bounce back very well, and we're looking forward to that from him. Guys are going to play great every night. We're all pissed off about it, and him probably more than anybody.
Thrilled to be joined now by Jalen Rose. Jalen, welcome to the show. Let's start right away by asking you, what do you need to see from Jason Tatum tonight if you're Boston?
Aggression. And also, good morning, gentlemen. And stop crying to the refs. I saw it at the beginning of the game. The one thing about being in the arena, you can see all access. And the one thing I saw early from Tatum, he was looking back for calls. And you got to play through the physicality, in particular in the playoffs, especially of the Miami Heat, who just got waxed on their home floor, and they came back with a level of physicality that needed to be matched. But this is the thing I want to make sure I also point out for Tatum and Brown. Too many turnovers. It's one thing to have 23 turnovers. It's a killer for your team when the other squad snatches 19 steals. How about the fact that the Miami Heat hands were so active, getting steals, getting deflections? Victor Oladipo, in a short period of time, had 4 steals. Now, all of a sudden, if you're the Heat, you're getting out in transition, you're getting open layups, you're getting open floor opportunities, and this is something that the Celtics just couldn't overcome after they already were down 26 points in the first half.
Zach, you made the point you were not as upset with Boston about the turnovers as you were complimentary of Miami for creating them, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, some of them were bad, and as Jalen said, I do think Miami needs transition points, both off misses and turnovers, to have any chance to win this series. They got them in Game 3. But, yeah, there's always a tendency when a team loses and they have a lot of turnovers, oh, we killed ourselves, we shot ourselves in the foot. Give Miami credit. Those steals don't happen by magic. They're not handing the ball to Victor Oladipo. He's taking it. And when you have a defense
offense that switches a lot, takes away your number one, number two, number three options, makes you think, makes you overthink. Turnovers happen.
A lot of defense this series.
A lot of defense this series, both ways. And this is a great example of why Bam Adebayo is so valuable, because he can literally play any coverage as the five-man. He can switch. He can play aggressive in a blitz. He can play in drop coverage, as they've done at times throughout the series. On the Tatum front, I said this at the beginning of the series, the biggest thing with him is decision-making. And it's not just the turnovers. Obviously, he needs to make better decisions there. But it's knowing when to attack quickly. It's knowing when to be the setup guy. It's knowing when to go for your own shot. And throughout these playoffs, he's had a number of high turnover games. He's had a number of bad shooting nights. Like, he's a superstar. He's a top 10 player. But night to night, we need to see the top 10 player that Jason Tatum is.
All right, night to night. But how about tonight? Jalen Rose, who wins this game, game four, between the Celtics and the Heat tonight?
It seems like I'm always picking against the Heat, but the Celtics are going to win tonight. I don't see them going down 3-1 in this series. And again, being down 26 points in the first quarter, early in the game, being down 15 going into the fourth quarter, and Jimmy Butler didn't play the second half. They did a good job of making a great run. Jaylen Brown played really well. Al Horford played really well. Smart went in and out of the lineup. Tatum went in and out of the lineup. I think the Boston Celtics stabilized themselves, and they find a way to get a victory tonight.
JJ, who wins?
I got the Celtics tonight, and that's assuming Marcus Smart can go and be who we think Marcus Smart is. To me, he's the most important player for the Celtics in this series.
Zach?
Boston, they've been tremendous after losses the entire season. They're a tough, steely team. They're at home. It's a must win. They're going to come out with more urgency. It feels like a Boston win. We go to Miami 2-2, which would be a lot of fun.
I'm going to make it a sweep. I'm going to pick Boston, too. When they get hurt, they come right back in the game like 5 minutes later, whereas, you know, Jimmy Butler sat out the whole second half. So I'm a little more concerned about Miami's injury situation. I don't know. Jalen, we want to get back to a story we talked about earlier, and it was about your friend and former teammate, Juwan Howard. Woj reported that he turned down an overture from the Los Angeles Lakers to talk to them about their head coaching job. What did you make of that?
I'm not surprised. I think it's a smart decision by Juwan. And nowadays in the collegiate landscape, you don't have to leave college to make top dollar. I think you have the ability to do that in college, but then you also have the ability to keep that job a lot longer. Respectfully, whoever takes the Lakers job right now, I believe will not be the coach in 2 or 3 years. Let me say that again out loud. Whoever coaches the Lakers this season will not be the coach in 2 or 3 seasons. Juwan has established himself at Michigan as a terrific young coach, as a great young recruiter, and I believe that opportunity will now propel him to other situations that are going to look at him when their job opens. I don't think this is the right time for him to take a job in LA. And I know it's tough for him to turn down Jeannie Buss and former teammate Rob Pelinka, as well as former teammate LeBron James. But I definitely think this is the right decision for all of the reasons I just said.
It's interesting you say whoever takes a job won't have it in 2 or 3 years. Since Phil Jackson stepped down after the 2010-2011 season, no Lakers coach has lasted more than 3 seasons in the job. So been a lot of turnover there. And guys, we discussed it earlier, and I want to ask Jalen, like, is there a candidate in your mind, if it's not Juwan Howard, that you would hire if you were the Lakers?
So looking at their finalists, you know, Kenny Atkinson did a really good job with the Nets, getting them to the playoffs in a startup situation. Terry Stotts did a really good job in Portland, leading them to the playoffs for 8 consecutive years and developing perimeter players, in particular their backcourt, and Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum. But I think this is a prime opportunity for the Los Angeles Lakers to hire Darvin Ham. Not only is he a former player and a former Lakers assistant, but he's been with Coach Bud for so very long, since the Atlanta days, now via Milwaukee. He's a champion as an assistant, and also what they've done to develop the front line in particular with the Bucks. Giannis has become an MVP. Lopez has become a terrific defender. Bobby Portis has become a more productive player. And who's the most important player besides LeBron James that the Lakers are going to need to be productive next year? That's Anthony Davis. I think Darvin Ham would do a terrific job nurturing him if he can stay healthy and put the Lakers back in position to be in the playoffs.
JJ, do you agree that that success he's had in Milwaukee with that group could translate to L.A.?
Well, it definitely matters. And I actually go back to something Zach said earlier, and that's just about personality and Darvin Ham's personality. Like, you need a strong personality. You need a guy who's going to hold the star players on the Lakers accountable. You need a guy who's had some experience with player development. That's going to be a key component going forward for the Lakers once they can figure out how to get some draft picks back. So I agree with everything Jalen said there. I think Darvin Ham would be a great hire for them.
What do you think, Zach?
I think all three are really good coaches. Just kind of depends on what you want. But Darvin Ham is overdue for his first shot. He's ready. He's paid all his dues. He's been on winning teams for a long time now, and he has the chops for this job.
Jalen, final word on this, please.
I totally agree with the gentleman. I think this is a great opportunity for the Lakers to invest in Darvin Ham and then put themselves in position to turn around their fortunes next season.
We'll see where things go with the Lakers coaching search from here. Hey, when we're done here in a few minutes, First Take is coming up next. They will discuss whether Golden State is the clear front runner to win the NBA title. They will discuss whether Aaron Rodgers should be in attendance at OTAs in Green Bay. They will discuss many things. It's First Take with Molly, Stephen A., J.J. Redick, and Marcus Spears when we're done here on Get Up next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We'll have Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics tonight at 8:30 Eastern on ABC and the app, with the Heat up 2-1. The Countdown crew gets things started at 8 Eastern. Zach Lowe, my question is, will we see a dunk like this eye candy we saw last night in the Western Conference Finals? Andrew Wiggins.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say we will not see a dunk that good. Well, that is a masterpiece poster dunk that it even inflicted a little pain, even if it was fake, exaggerated pain, and inflicted pain.
Yeah, Luka doing the flop. The midair flop is like a new part of his arsenal, I think.
He went for it, and then halfway there, it's like, I'm not going to get it. I got to do something here.
You know what's great about this is they said we got a minute left. The two of us watch the dunk over and over again. This is two guys doing it that couldn't even imagine doing a thing like this, trying to analyze. Maybe I don't want to speak for you. Maybe you
nerf,
can do
nerf,
this.
Nerf hoop.
At what height are we talking about?
Door height. I'm just glad Steve Kerr had a challenge. Imagine if he didn't have a challenge left and this was an unjustified dunk that went into the trash bin of history. That would be terrible.
Sitting here talking about this dunk today, saying it did not count, and maybe talking about Luka's flopping technique. Hey, we've had a lot of fun here on Get Up. Thanks for joining us. First Take is next.